Okay, at this time, I'm Commissioner Glover. I will be calling the meeting of the Program and Allocation Committee to order, and I'm going to ask that the Vice Chair would chair the meeting today so I can save my voice.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and we hope you feel better. If we can first ask staff to confirm a quorum.
Good morning. Yes, we have a quorum.
Okay, great. Thank you. And now if we can go to item number two, consent calendar.
Move approved.
So we have a motion by Tissier, second by Glover. Is there any comment or questions? So if we can take that without objection. Without objection, the consent calendar passes. If we can now go to item 3A, cap and trade. And I think the present on that item is Kenneth Follin.
Thank you, Commissioner Campos. This is item number 3A and is resolution 4170. And staff will be recommending today to assign $2.4 million of a cap and trade fund called the Low Carbon Transit Operation Program, the population-based funds to operators based on a commission-adopted framework that was adopted by the commission in December of 2013. And it's summarized in attachment A behind the pink sheet of your memo. So a quick piece of background on this item. As I just mentioned, the commission adopted a cap and trade framework in December 2013, and it was based on commitments from Plan Bay Area. And it included a 25-year forecast of cap and trade revenues totaling $3.1 billion. The two specific transit categories I wanted to mention was the first one is the $875 million for a core capacity transit projects. And then the second one is the subject of the allocations today, which is a $500 million framework for 25 years worth of support for transit operations. Since the framework was adopted in December 2013, there's been an appropriation into this account, into the Low Carbon Transit Operations Program for $25 million for the 14-15 fiscal year. And it's divided like the state transit assistance accounts into two pots of money, the revenue-based funds that go directly to the operator and then the population-based funds that go through MTC. The attachment A shows the first column shows the revenue-based funds, and that totals $6.8 million. That, again, goes directly to the operators. The second column is the population-based funds, and that's the $2.4 million that we are recommending assigning to operators today. The schedule is somewhat accelerated based on when the appropriation occurred and the deadlines that were set by the state. There's a first round of programming that applications are due to Caltrans by February 2nd, and the second round is by April 15th. And all requests must be received for this total of $9.2 million by that April 15th deadline. And just a recap of the account, projects, 50% of all funds must benefit disadvantaged communities, and eligible projects include both capital and operating projects that improve frequency, speed, or capacity. So there are a lot of projects that are eligible, and there's a pretty comprehensive application where the projects have to be the benefits have to be spelled out in the application. So because of the tight framework or tight timeline ahead of us, we are recommending assigning the funds, the $2.4 million worth of funds, according to that attachment A, the middle category, and then operators may elect to send us application information, project information, and we would include that in your January 28th committee packet. So the resolution today just has TBD as the project names, but we would be we may have projects for you for the commission date in January. If not, then there would be an opportunity for them to get them in by April 15th. I would turn your attention quickly to attachment B of the memo as well. That just provides the entire $500 million framework, and it's in column A, the framework. And as you can see, the revenue-based funds that go to the operators essentially takes care of a lot of the commitment, and then there is an estimate for the population-based funds that this $2.4 million is part of right now. So again, what we're recommending today is to assign these funds, the $2.4 million funds, to the operators in Attachment A. And then based on those shares, we'd bring you back projects as early as the January 28th commission meeting, and also by delegated authority or at a future commission meeting. And finally, we are also recommending that we take a review of the entire cap and trade framework, especially for the transit categories, after this initial round of applications or allocations. And what we would want to do would be assess changes since the December framework was adopted, and that would include considering the actual revenues of auctions that are about to start at the state level and additional program guidelines, as well as to solicit further input from stakeholders and to consider adding smaller operators to the framework that were not part of the initial framework. So with that, I would recommend approving Resolution 41 or referring Resolution 4170 to the Commission for approval.
Colleagues, any questions? Thank you, Mr. Follin. Any comments or questions? If not, can we have a motion?
I would move approval.
So motion by Commissioner Glover, seconded by Commissioner Baker. If we can take that without objection. Without objection. Thank you. We can now go on to item number 4A, and to present on that, Drennan Shelton.
Good morning. I'm Drennan Shelton from the Planning Section. I'm here this morning to present the FY13 and FY14 Section 5310 Draft Program of Projects for our region's large urbanized areas and the priority project list for the region's small urbanized areas. As background, let me remind you that the Section 5310 is a federal transit administration program. It provides a mix of capital and operating grants to provide transportation services for elderly individuals and individuals with disabilities for whom public transportation is unavailable, insufficient, or inappropriate. Caltrans is the designated recipient of 5310 funds, but has entered into a memorandum of understanding with MTC to jointly administer the large urbanized area program. Under the MOU, MTC is responsible for conducting a competitive selection process for the Bay Area's large urbanized area funds. Caltrans is responsible for conducting a separate statewide call for projects for the small urbanized area and rural area funds. And I'll talk about MTC's call for projects first. In September, the Commission adopted the guidelines, Resolution 4156, for the competitive selection of the large urbanized area projects. The funding available for programming is $8.7 million. So staff issued a call for projects in October, and we received applications from 27 project sponsors for 33 projects, many of which included multiple sub-projects, totaling $10.3 million in requests. Staff convened an evaluation panel in November, and applications were evaluated and scored based on need and benefits, coordination, partnership and outreach, and project readiness. As recommended by MTC's Coordinated Public Transit Human Services Transportation Plan, there was an increased emphasis on mobility management and coordination for this call. Additional points were awarded for projects that included specific coordination activities that will result in better utilization of and access to resources. Attachment 1 in your packet lists the proposed program of projects for the large urbanized areas. It includes 32 projects, lists the applications from highest to lowest score, and shows the recommended grant amount. The recommended grant amounts are based on a project's score relative to other projects within the same urbanized area and the scalability of a project in an urbanized area where funding was oversubscribed. In some cases, the amount of funding recommended is less than what was requested. All project sponsors have been consulted on any scope or budget modifications due to eligibility or reduced funding recommendations. If approved by the Commission, staff will forward the program of projects to Caltrans, who will then submit a grant application to FTA on behalf of the project sponsors. The second call for projects was issued by Caltrans for the state's small, urbanized, and rural areas. The funding available for this statewide call is $13 million, and MTC received 8 applications with 16 projects totaling $1.7 million in requests. Consistent with the Caltrans evaluation process, MTC and our county paratransit coordinating councils reviewed the applications for eligibility, and we use the state-established scoring criteria to score vehicle and equipment projects. You'll find a list of projects and scores in Attachment C to the draft resolution. If approved by the commission, staff will forward this list to Caltrans for consideration in the statewide competition. This concludes my summary, and I ask that you refer Resolution 4168 to the commission for approval.
Thank you, Ms. Shelton, for the presentation. Colleagues, do we have any comments or questions? Commissioner Bates?
Yes, I'm sorry. The last category, I'm looking at my, you said it was agenda item. What was it? The breakdown? I don't seem to find it here.
For the small urbanizer?
Yes.
That would be C, attachment C.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Found it.
Colleagues, any other questions? Not, can we have a motion?
So moved.
It's a motion by Commissioner Glover, seconded by Commissioner Tissier. Can we take that without objection? Without objection, the item passes. Thank you very much. If we can now go to item 4B, and to present is Shruti Hari.
Good morning, Commissioners. Shruti Hari from the Programming and Allocation Section. And I have for your consideration today various programming actions with conditions to program $153 million to SFMTA for the purchase of 40 expansion light rail vehicles. Now, this item in front of you today has consists of three main programming actions, one of which is to reprogram $25 million from SFMTA's fixed guideway rehab projects to SFMTA's light rail vehicle purchase. And the other two programming actions consist of programming $44 million in AB664 bridge toll funds and $84 million in BARTA project savings towards the light rail vehicle purchase. And all of these programming actions come with conditions for repayment. Now, just to give you a little bit of background on this, SFMTA recently awarded a 15-year contract to Siemens for new LRVs that will begin delivery in 2016. Now, the base contract included 151 replacement light rail vehicles and 24 expansion light rail vehicles, with an option for an additional 40 expansion light rail vehicles to help meet their projected vehicle needs through 2020. Now, both the replacement and expansion projects that I talked about are included in our core capacity challenge grant program. And according to that program, the replacement LRVs were to be funded with future programming of bridge toll funds, whereas the 40 expansion light rail vehicles were to be funded in part with the cap and trade revenues. Now, we recently learned that due to demand from other transit agencies, the vendor had advised SFMTA that the production window for the 40 option vehicles, the expansion vehicles, will be deferred beyond 2020 if SFMTA does not immediately provide a commitment to execute that option. Now, this was a couple of years earlier than the SFMTA staff had anticipated needing these funds. And so in order to keep their place in the production queue, and this is summarized in the attached letter to this item, SFMTA requested $210 million from MTC in the near term to allow SFMTA to exercise this option. Now, the other potential benefit to exercising the option now would be savings in escalation costs in the range of $5 to $10 million. And so in order to meet this immediate need from SFMTA, we propose the following programming actions, which are summarized in the small table to the right, and the various funding sources are also included here. So basically, we are proposing reprogramming $25 million of SFMTA's fixed guideway infrastructure projects that we programmed through the TCP program last month to the LRV purchase, and additionally programming $44 million in AB664 bridge tolls and $84 million in the BARTA project savings to the LRV purchase. And these were designated for the replacement vehicles. Now, the proposal also requires that SFMTA fund $57 million of the cost of the option with their local funds, which mostly includes their revenue bonds, development impact fees, and other non-federal sources. Now, I would like to specifically note here that all of these actions are not allocating the funds. At this point, we are just programming the funds, especially for the AB664 and the BARTA project savings. And for the FTA TCP funds, we are programming these funds, but we are not programming them in the TIP right now. The main intent is that the programming of these funds would serve as a backstop for the receipt of the future cap and trade funds towards these projects via the transit and intercity rail capital program administered by the CalSTA. And if the cap and trade funds are secured, the regional funds would be restored to the fixed guideway projects and the vehicle replacement projects. That is that was originally intended. But if the cap and trade funds are not awarded, SFMTA will be required to repay the regional contribution by funding the fixed guideway and the replacement projects from their local fund sources. Now, all of this is summarized in the attachment one to this item, where the upper portion of the table shows the current funding commitments as it is in our core capacity challenge grant program and in the TCP program. But the lower half of the table shows you how these funding commitments would be revised if the cap and trade funds are not secured. And I would also bring to your attention a few issues. So one is I've been talking about the conditions to the programming of these funds. So the allocation of the bridge toll funds and the support for the FTA funds are proposed to be contingent on SFMTA's meeting three requirements. One is that SFMTA would pursue the cap and trade funds and would repay the regional investment if the cap and trade funds are not secured. Also, SFMTA would be required to develop an agreement with MTC on the terms of the replacement funding, and the staff will return to the Commission at a later date before we allocate the AB664 funds or the BATA project savings or including the TCP funds in the TIP to the Commission before we actually go about doing it. And then finally, SFMTA, as I mentioned before, is required to provide $57 million in local funds towards this $210 million need that they have right now. And I think SFMTA's board is expected to consider this funding plan on their meeting on Jan 20th. And the second thing I wanted to highlight relates to the uncertainty of cap and trade funding for LRVs. SFMTA's light rail fleet expansion should be a strong candidate for the cap and trade funding under the Transit and Intercity Rail Capital Program. However, the guidelines for this program have not yet been finalized, and only $25 million is available in FY15. So the amount and timing of the funds for the LRV project is still uncertain. MTC staff and SFMTA staff are working with CalSTA to see if they can allow for multi-year commitments and to secure a commitment that the LRVs will still remain eligible for the cap and trade funds through a LONP, a letter of no prejudice type of arrangement. And the third thing that I wanted to highlight here is that, as I mentioned, SFMTA staff anticipates using non-federal SFMTA funds, their local funds, to restore funding to the fixed guideway rehab and the vehicle replacement projects if the cap and trade funds are not secured. But the amounts that will be available and the time that it is required to meet this commitment is still uncertain. So that's something that we wanted to highlight as part of these programming actions. And with that, I would like to refer to the committee resolutions 4133 revised, 4162 revised, 4163 revised, and 4169 to the commission for approval. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hari. I know that we have two speaker cards, but before we do that, I know that we have some questions, comments from the commission. Commissioner Baker.
Hi, thank you for the presentation, and I think this is a good project. I have a couple questions about the issue number two, the uncertainty of cap and trade funds. And, it sounds like the guidelines aren't finalized, so we don't really know for certain how competitive this project is. Has staff or the commission had any analysis of how competitive this project would be based on against other projects that the commission might have to determine which project we might want to put forward to get our best foot forward for the new cap and trade guidelines as they're under SB 862?
Alex Bockelman, Deputy Executive Director for Policy. As you noted, we haven't seen the final guidelines, but and in addition, the guidelines, the draft guidelines that are out, don't actually establish sort of weights for scoring. They just provide the types of criteria that will be important. So obviously GHG emission reductions is very important. We think this project will be very competitive from that standpoint. Another thing in the draft guidelines is sort of projects that are, you know, more ready to go. We think this project obviously is fitting that bill, given the fact that the letter that we have before us from SFMTA. So, you know, we can't make a full assessment without having final guidelines. This is one of the projects that was adopted by the Commission in the core capacity program for cap and trade. So We do think, you know, again, because of the GHG reductions, it's very supportive of the sustainable community strategy. So we think it will be fairly competitive. But until we actually see how much money, how many years of programming they're going to do, there's just a lot of uncertainty until we see the final guidelines.
Do we have a sense of how competitive it would be, you know, based on your current understanding? It sounds like you have some understanding of it. There are certain bases on which we think this is going to be a reasonably strong project. Do we have any understanding or have made any analysis as compared to any other projects we might want to have cabin terrain to essentially fund this with different money and put forward a more competitive project? Are there more competitive projects out there for the cap and trade money?
We have started reaching out to the transit operators to get a better sense of the types of projects that they're looking to submit. So we hope to, you know, have that and be able to do that assessment. But right now, I think a lot of the transit operators aren't certain about their plans for this program until they see the final guidelines. So we're in a little bit of a chicken and egg situation.
Okay. And just one, so I understand this is just allocating. This isn't actually spending the money yet. Is there a time window in between, you know, this sort of allocation, because I understand we need to do something now, and maybe when further guidelines come out or when the money's actually spent, that we can make some sort of analysis on, hey, maybe we got another project that we're more certain of getting cap and trade and we want to swap the funding mechanisms?
So just to clarify, the action that we're requesting of the committee today would actually, it's a programming action, and it's not for cap and trade. It's actually for sources of funds under the commission's control, and the cap and trade is really at the state's control. So this action would be for bridge toll funds and for some FTA funds that were going to go to Muni for replacement, and now they would be programming them against expansion. The allocation wouldn't occur till later because, again, I think the idea is that SFMTA, if they're competitive for cap and trade, they might not need the money that we would be programming to them if the commission decides to do that. So I think maybe this kind of the second part of your question would be, when would the commission be able to consider the projects that will be seeking cap and trade funds to see throughout the region what they look like? The commission won't necessarily have, I mean, as the guidelines are written right now, we don't necessarily have a role, but we often will bring something to you to endorse a list of projects. And it seems with your interest, you probably would like to look at the list. So I think that would be sometime in the March timeframe if that's the sort of path we go down, just to maybe endorse projects that would be sent to the state.
Thank you, Commissioner. And as a completely objective observer, I think San Francisco will be very competitive. Commissioner Wiener.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I couldn't agree more. So first of all, I want to thank the staff for bringing this this proposal forward in terms of the funding for the Muni light rail vehicles, and I just want to try to put it in sort of context of about how absolutely critical this is for the functioning of the Muni system. Just to give you a small amount of background, I won't take too long. Muni has these Breda vehicles. I know I've talked about it here before, which were purchased in the early 90s, which, to put it charitably, are problematic. Breda did a very poor job designing and producing them. They have fundamental problems in their propulsion systems and their doors. They break down all the time. Before I got caught up in the BART meltdown this morning, because someone unfortunately was killed, I was delayed because a light rail vehicle broke down, and so I was stuck at Castro Station for a while. And unfortunately, it happens far too often. Muni's done an admirable job making the very, very most of the vehicles that you can, but they don't have enough vehicles to begin with. Too many of them break down. And so time and again, particularly during rush hour, there are times when you just physically cannot get onto a train. And it's a big problem. It's the biggest source of unreliability in the system. These are just workhorse lines that are not able to keep up. This contract that the MTA, with approval of the Board of Supervisors, entered into with Siemens is a great contract. Siemens has a phenomenal reputation. These trains are going to be so far superior. We're going to have, I think, eventually nearly double the number of vehicles in the system. It's going to just allow, you know, we saw the other day some of the ridership numbers that even though Muni continues to carry almost half the riders in the region, we're not growing in the same level as other agencies, partly because of lack of capacity. And so we have to add capacity as San Francisco continues to grow. And this is a key part of that. The fact that we're now able to accelerate this contract and we're putting up local money to help fund that, to get an additional 40 vehicles more quickly than we would have otherwise, it cannot come too soon. And so this is a huge step forward. I'm very appreciative that staff worked with the MTA to propose this, and I really ask for your support, colleagues.
Colleagues, any other comments or questions? We do have two speaker cards, and so I will call upon them. John Haley from the SFMTA and Maria Lombardo from the San Francisco County Transportation Authority.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will not present myself as an uninterested observer. I first of all would want to thank the both the MTC staff and the Transportation Authority staff for their work on this, and thank the Commission for your continued support. As you heard Supervisor Weiner refer to, our ridership, we're in year five of growth. The city population's growing, jobs are growing, development's growing, our environmental goals are increasingly more aggressive, and this procurement is the game changer for us. This is the single most important thing that we can do in San Francisco to deliver both high-quality service and to meet all of the, not just transportation goals, but the quality of life goals that the region and the city have laid out. I appreciate your consideration of this, and again, recognize the staff support. I will mention just a couple of points that may, for clarification, when we set about 2 years ago to take this approach to the procurement, which was a long-range view, not just to look at replacing the cars we had, but take care of our short and long-term problems. That was a lesson that we learned from what happened in the early 90s when the existing cars were built. There were certainly, you heard Supervisor Weiner talk about the design, but it sounds like a bit of a contradiction, but one of the other lessons is it was a bad design, but we didn't buy enough of them. So what we're doing this time is to lay out the program so it takes care of both the immediate capacity problems, and the capacity problems we have now are not in the future. They're right now. That's the single biggest constraint we have, and so we're working very hard to do that. And the decision, you heard it in the staff presentation, and I'll be very specific about what happened here. One of the other things we did in this particular procurement.
Can you just wrap up?
Is to focus on the reliability of the car. And other transit properties are moving forward and extending and exercising their options with Siemens. So that's why this item is before you. So thank you again for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Haley.
Great. Thank you. Maria Lombardo with the San Francisco Transportation Authority. I'll be very brief. My two bosses are right here. First of all, I'll just say thank you. I just want to underscore the core capacity commitment that MTC made is absolutely the linchpin, the foundation of Plan Bay Area. With the three big cities projected to absorb most of the growth, we really need this strategic and forward-thinking investment in our state of good repair and expansion. I believe the planning directors presented to the Planning Commission maybe last month, and San Francisco is already at something like 40% of the projected growth in Plan Bay Area already. We desperately need this, as our commissioners articulated. I'll just emphasize this is a very thoughtful expansion as well. There's kudos to John and his team. There was a really rigorous, in-depth lessons learned about the failures of the past vehicles with an eye forward to design that will minimize maintenance needs as we go forward with these. We know these are big investments. And also yesterday at our Plans and Programs Committee, the committee recommended $2 million for an environmental study that will look at a significant expansion of the Muni Metro East maintenance facility, enabling Muni to better maintain the current vehicle fleet, all of their modes, as well as these expansion vehicles. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, we have this item before you. Are there any comments or questions? Can we have a motion?
So moved.
So moved by Commissioner Tissier, seconded by Commissioner Baker. Can we take that without objection? Without objection. Thank you very much. Congratulations, San Francisco. If we can now go to item 5, and we have Kenneth Cow to present.
Thank you, Commissioner. Kenneth Cow with MTC. The California Transportation Commission met in December in Riverside and discussed a number of items. One item they discussed was approving the makeup of the Road Usage Charge Technical Advisory Committee. The Road Usage Charge Technical Advisory Committee was created by Senate Bill 1077 by DeSaulnier, and I'm happy to report that Commissioner Scott Haggerty is on that commission. Their first meeting will be on Friday, January 22nd. CTC also discussed a number of items, including the Interregional Transportation Strategic Plan, also realizing Proposition 1B Trade Corridor Improvement Fund cost savings, noticing STIP amendments for Santa Clara County, and also the California Transportation Commission approved and announced their new executive director, who is Will Kempton, and he will be beginning his job next Tuesday. The next meeting of CTC will be in Sacramento next week on Thursday, January 21st. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, do we have any questions of staff? Thank you, Mr. Cow. This is an informational item, so there is no action needed. Thank you very much. If we can now go to item number 6, which is public comment, and we have 2 speaker cards. So we'll call on the speakers, Ken Bukowski and Roland LeBron.
Hello, I'm Ken Bukowski. I record all these meetings. Some of you may have heard this before, but anyway, I wanted to tell you that for this meeting, I created a separate video for each agenda item, so if you need to refer to it, it's easy to do that. And I became a notary, so if anybody needs notary services, just see me. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Next speaker.
Hello again, Commissioners. So what I would like to do is to start a conversation about crude by rail and the impact on California. And the situation is that right now we're importing 1% of our crude by rail, and this is going to go up to 20%. It's going to happen very fast, probably within the next couple of years. The focus so far has been on prevention of accidents and an emergency response, and this is not why I'm here today. What I'm here today is to talk about the impact on our transportation system of all these trains coming through, 1-mile-long trains. And the first thing I'd like to do is to look at where the oil comes from. Well, we can't import it by tankers anymore because it's coming from Nebraska or Canada, somewhere like that. So it's got to come by rail. But the question is, how far do these trains have to get into California? And right now, there's absolutely no regulation. So basically, the oil companies are looking, okay, where are the railway lines and where do we have some kind of oil facility that's connected to a pipeline? Bang, we go and stick another terminal there, okay? There's one in Richmond. There's another one that's going to be up there also. There's 2 coming up in Bakersfield. Believe it or not, there's $150 million projects. They just do an M&D and let's go, okay? Now, the issue we have is Union Pacific has figured out that their line that goes to Merced, Fresno, and Bakersfield is pretty much going to get choked up. So now they want to start using the line that follows the coastline. They want to get to the Santa Maria refinery. Now that means these tankers are going to be coming through Oakland, Fremont, San Jose. It's an issue. So what I'd like you to do is to start looking at the policy level and the entire pipeline system in California and figure out there's some kind of way that we can build these terminals as far north as possible, preferably north of Sacramento, and then start some kind of advocacy at either the state or the federal level. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And that concludes public comment. The next meeting of the Programming and Allocations Committee will be on February 11th at 9:40 a.m. Here in this room. And that concludes the business of this committee. The meeting adjourned.